Senator Tomlinson. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. You know, like everybody else, you know, you hear these headlines and Senator Wolf making a big deal about, saber rattling about taking money from the development fund. I would have thought that his people would understand the way the fund is structured. And I am very appreciative that that you could maybe educate them in Harrisburg as to what's involved here.
Well, needless to say, I was actually shocked yesterday when he made this announcement. I'm a state system graduate. I went to Westchester University. I sit on the board of trustees for Westchester University. We definitely have a problem with our state system. There's many things that we need to do to right-size that system. We used to have 120,000 students. We have about 90,000 now. There's a demographic problem in Pennsylvania. But all that being said, we need to address that and look at that and work on that. To go over to the horse racing fund to think that $200 million will fix all those problems we have is just—it's just not a good idea. I think it's going in the wrong direction. It doesn't fix anything. It gives out a scholarship. That's all wonderful, but we have structural problems in our system. We have demographic problems in our system that I'm working very, very hard to address. To take $200 million out of the Horse Race Development Fund is not the answer. And, in fact, it ignores a whole industry of 20,000 employees and 30,000 horses and 100,000 acres of preserved land that is all good things. And probably the most egregious thing to me is that I have Philadelphia Park, Parks Casino in my district, and the people that work at the track are my neighbors. They're people that I know in my community. They rely on these jobs. These are jobs. These are real people. And just to make a glib statement that you're going to bet on kids and not horses, this is an industry. And I don't think the governor really thought this through. I think it looks like he's trying to fix a problem with this found money. And I think it's wrong. I think we're going to work very, very hard to make sure that this doesn't happen. And any money that we've ever redirected is usually going back into the industry in some way, agriculture, back into horses and agriculture in some way, but not totally shifting away from the industry into an educational problem that we definitely have. And I thank the governor for being aware of it. But he's not working on it. This does not work on our problem, and it just creates another problem in another industry.
There's a number of things that I want to include as a follow-up, and I have to mention, you say, you know, that, of course, Bucks County and the 6th District, Bensalem being part of it. You grew up in Bensalem.
Oh, I grew up in Bensalem, and Philadelphia Park has been a part of my life since I was about 20 years old. Not that I ever went there early on, but I enjoyed, when my kids were growing up, I took my kids over to watch the races all the time. And many of the people that work there are great, great friends of mine. I mean, John Service is a dear friend, and John was very successful with Smarty Jones, but I didn't even know John worked at the racetrack. I saw him as a little league coach. I'd see him at banquets. He was a wonderful father raising his kids. And then I found out what he did. I was, you know, he was a trainer at the track. And we have a lot of people who live in the Bensalem area who work at that track. And it's a vital, vital part of my community. I would have never gotten the casinos if it hadn't been for Philadelphia Park and,
well,
trying to help horse racing.
Well, and you know, and this is one of the things that it's remarkable that how quickly or how easily it's been forgotten, or they're trying to make everybody forget. There is no Parks Casino, which is really the engine on the train of all the gaming in Pennsylvania. There is none if there is no Smarty Jones. I mean, Smarty Jones elevated the profile, and it really is the linchpin to everything that's happened in Pennsylvania, and that includes, and this is on the thoroughbred side in particular, we also should mention I think, you know, those of us that are focused on thoroughbreds aren't even aware to some degree of the extent of the standardbred side of things in Pennsylvania with the Harrah's and down in Chester and, you know, Pocono Downs and the Meadows in Pittsburgh, and a breeding community on the standardbred side. Pennsylvania is essentially Kentucky for standardbreds. It's the center.
The irony, Steve, is that the governor is from York. The irony is the governor is from York, Pennsylvania. And the irony is that probably the largest breeding farm, I think, in the world, certainly in the country, is in Hanover Shoes in York. It's the largest breeding farm. And we worked very hard with those breeders and the legislators from that area because that was such an important part of this community. And that was totally part of the picture. If they hadn't had, and I always joke about it, Steve, Smarty Jones did more to get a casino in Pennsylvania than Tommy Tomlinson did, because everybody got so excited about Smarty Jones. And although I had been working on that legislation for several years before that, but all of a sudden people recognized how exciting this was and what a great story it was. And we brought John up here and his family up here, and people met him, and of course the Chapman family were just wonderful people, just absolutely wonderful people. So I mean, it was a great community effort. It's a great community within that business. But if Delaware Park had not put slot machines in Delaware Park, and all our good horses went to Delaware Park to get the better purses, which is literally an hour and a half down Route 95, they decimated our horse racing industry, which gave us the ability to fight even harder to get the slot machines in the racetrack. And, of course, then Smarty Jones comes on board, and my gosh, everybody started smiling and wanting to meet. They didn't care about me. They cared about John Service and Smarty Jones. But there's no question about it that these, to me and to most people here, are just linked irrevocably. Horse racing and casinos, to me, are combined, and we can never take that away. I just think the governor has not thought this through. He probably was not well advised on this. He was looking for a solution without raising taxes. He was looking for a solution where there was just money somewhere else. This is just the easy thing to do. He thinks. We're going to make sure that he doesn't realize it's so easy to do. But it just looks like, oh, here's $200 million, and I'll just put it over here, and that'll take care of scholarships. No, you just affected 20,000 jobs, Governor. You know, there's 30,000 horses. There's 100 acres of open space. Less than 100 acres. There's 100,000 acres of open space preserved in these areas. So it's an essential part of Pennsylvania. Agriculture is still one of the largest industries in the state.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you just can't turn your back on that. And we have problems. I thank the governor for recognizing the problems we have in higher education and the state system. Thank you, Governor. But let's go at that. Leave this other industry alone. Let this other industry flourish. I mean, when the Kentucky Derby is running, you go to parks, Philadelphia Park, it's packed. The racetrack is packed. They're there to watch races. They're there to watch the Kentucky Derby. It's wonderful. When we have the Pennsylvania Derby, it's packed. When you have the Preakness, the Belmont, any of those big races, instead of staying home, people go to the racetrack to watch the races. It's successful. It's very good. We have a great track, and we have a great tradition, and I just don't think the governor thought this through, or did he realize what he was doing?
Well, and I got to fold some numbers in, and we on a regular basis actually have discussed the last several years. We've discussed what's gone on in Pennsylvania, and you mentioned the 20,000 jobs, over a billion, 1.5 billion annually in terms of impact. You know, both direct and trickle down. It generates
1.6 billion in economic impact. Yes, Chief.
68 million plus in tax revenue.
Yes. No, with economic impact.
Right. No, but and then an additional 68 million in tax revenues.
Yes.
And also, I explain going back to 2017. One of the things I stressed when I brought up this, you know, this story first thing this morning, explain what the motivation was in terms of creating a trust, because this money is the Commonwealth doesn't have any claim to this money.
Correct. And I think, Steve, you got to go back to the fundamentals of this. This isn't just money that's thrown. This is earned money. As far as I look at this as earned money. I don't think of this. This is money that's generated, and it's generated in this industry. And it's just not money that we bequeath to them. They work for this. I mean, they put on a product. They put on a race, and they work for this. So this is money coming out of gaming. This isn't coming out of taxpayers. It's coming out of gaming. He's not using taxpayers' money. He's come over and raided gaming money. And that's why it's there, is because that was the original intent of doing the casinos for me, because I had Philadelphia Park Racetrack, formerly Keystone Racetrack, in my district. And we wanted to preserve that. Again, I want to go back. The people that work there live in my community. This is personal. These people work hard. They've lived there for a long time. They have families. They have this economic impact in my community. They buy homes. I think it's just the governor did not think this through. He just thinks he can shift this money over, and it has no other. It has no negative impact, or he doesn't care about the impact. And I do, and I think that we're going to see several legislators standing up and saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, I come from rural Pennsylvania. I come from Chester County, and I have horse farms in Chester County. You're going to have people that say, I have a casino in my district, and I have a racetrack in my district. So I think the governor, we're going to be respectful and go to the governor and tell the governor that you cannot take these. You're taking other people's money, and you're spending it on a very good cause, on something that we need to address, but let's not steal money, take money from somebody else to try to, and I don't think it solves our structural problem in higher education by just throwing scholarship money at it. We have demographic problems. We have to look at the entire structure of our state system, and I'm doing that. I'm working on that. But don't come in and take my horse race development fund.
Well, and you're talking about the 6th District and Bucks County and Bensalem, and then, of course, in Grantsville, in and around Penn National, in Erie, in and around Presque, Pittsburgh with the Meadows, Chester with Harrah's, and Pocono Downs in the mountains. What exactly would the governor have to do? I mean, because he'd have to change legislation, correct, or introduce legislation.
This would take our leaders and legislation to move this over. And although there has been some raids on this fund in the past, to maybe $50 million or $60 million, but again, repurposed into agriculture in some way or other, and always with the negotiations. This just blatant grab the money and run is just a terrible idea. And I am surprised, the governor being from York, that he wouldn't have a little bit more appreciation for for a standard bred breeding program in the largest in the world, and the economic impact of that. I'm looking forward to sitting down with the governor, and I'm looking forward to sitting down with allies here and sitting and working this out and saying, look, let's these are two separate issues, higher education. I'm all in. Stay out of the horse race development fund. That deserves to be used for what it's used for. It deserves to go into agriculture, breeding. It's a huge industry. It would kill it. If you took this $200 million, you just killed an industry. And I don't think the governor understands that, and it's going to be our job to make sure he does.
Well, and part of the story, I'm sure, that will be told includes, you know, how effective the merchandising of Pennsylvania as a breeding ground has been. And I can only really speak to the thoroughbred side, but, you know, just in the last, literally since the fund was already, there was a different format per se before the fund was specifically established, but the monies that were directed toward breeding and racing in Pennsylvania are only really now finding, you know, the end zone with increased the number of mares bred and mares foaling in Pennsylvania, and a much higher profile and higher quality of racehorse being bred that is resulting in Breeders' Cup wins and graded stake wins and higher purchase prices at the sales. I mean, there's real evidence of how successful this has been. And there's introduction of better stallions. And again, this is just the thoroughbred side. The standard bred people have a fabulous story to tell of ongoing success. So it feels like there's plenty of ammunition for you and colleagues in the House and Senate to fight with. How much conversation was there in the last 24 hours among among colleagues?
Quite a bit, Steve. It was a shock to say that it caught some people off guard. It caught us off guard, I think. It did me anyway. But I'm happy to say that I've seen my colleagues and heard from my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, who appreciate what this industry stands for and has done and will continue to do, and the agricultural impact of this is huge in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania's a big state, and we have a lot of rural area, and we have a lot of agriculture here. And these are, as you mentioned, these different tracks around the state. And that's one of the things I think that we really wanted to keep and maintain, is to make sure that this wasn't all in one city like Atlantic City, and
right.
We were in Erie, and we're up in the Pocono area, and we're down in southeastern Pennsylvania, and we're and these tracks are in central Pennsylvania, Penn National. We were, it's all over the state, so the impact is spread around, and it has great impact in these communities. So, I am encouraged, Steve, to say that I think from both sides of the aisle, I've seen some statements from Democrats that, we know there's a higher education problem, but we don't know about this rating this fund like this. And I'm just hoping that as we speak to the governor, all of us united, that he doesn't really quite understand what he has done, and he's not been well advised.
Well, as anyone who has driven the turnpike can tell you, Pennsylvania is a very big state, and you as you're driving west or coming east, you you don't think it's ever going to end. But this is a fight that has gone on before, and there's a lot of ammunition, and those that are in the trenches that are breeding horses and buying and selling and training and racing and owning, they'll all pull behind, and undoubtedly, Tommy, I expect that a settlement will be found, and common ground will be found, and because there's too many good things that have happened and continue to happen. So anything we can communicate, don't hesitate. And I appreciate you visiting this morning.
Well, and we can do both things. We can do these two things. These aren't mutually exclusive. We can continue to protect the horse racing industry. As I started out, I'm a huge proponent of our state higher education system. I'm a graduate of it. I'm served on the trustees. I'm involved in that. We can do both things, but we don't need to destroy a industry and not really fix what we needed to fix in the state higher education system.
Senator Tommy Tomlinson from Bucks County, 6th District. And Tommy, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you at Pennsylvania Derby Day.
There you go. I'll be there.
I love it, Tom. Thank you, Tommy Tomlinson, everybody. And there's just too many positives associated with what's going on and what has gone on in Pennsylvania. And I wish I knew more about the harness side, other than the fact that they breed 1,200, 1,300 standard breds and about 700 right now. It's about 700 thoroughbreds. But, Pennsylvania is the Kentucky of standard bred breeding. And between the Meadows and Pocono Downs and Chester, you know, racing, you know, another part of things, racing runs, you know, almost, I mean, it's not year round at Presque, but, you know, they run 150 race days at Chester. Meadows runs close to 200 days, and you know, Parks runs year round, as does Penn. I mean, Pennsylvania is a vital racing state, and you know, they really are advancing things. Quality of stallions that are trickling in, opportunity landing there to start his career. You can trot out, you know, all the numbers, you know, the tax benefits and the trickle down. I know that I'm confident that the racing interests will press their point successfully with the governor in Harrisburg. Let's take a break. Coming up toward the bottom of the hour, you got to check in with Seth Marrow, Capital OTB TV, and Seth on his way here. We're looking forward to getting him here. In fact, I'm wondering if he's actually might be traveling. I can't remember. What did he say last week? We'll find out. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
With Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Roll down town, this way won't be. I'm cruising late.
Seth Merrow is going to Vegas, and he's going to be here tomorrow, I think. Seth?
You have me?
I do now.
Seth? Okay, yeah, the game plan is lunchtime, but it's going to be dicey because they're predicting that my flight leaves at 7 o'clock. They're predicting a couple inches of snow after midnight, and about 7 o'clock they're saying freezing rain and sleet hits. So I have my fingers crossed, A, I get down the Northway okay, and B, the plane gets off the runway okay.
Well, that I heard that there was some weather concerns, and I know frankly that they're from a planning standpoint, and we will have later today they'll announce the Friday mandatories. I know people are sweating out, you know, what we're going to get weather and if it means wet tracks and off the turf.
Yeah, you know, in a situation like this weekend with, as you say, planning mandatories and whatnot, that can throw a real monkey wrench into things, certainly. But this is an experienced room full of players, and so they'll adjust accordingly. But tomorrow there's a last chance. I had Ellis Starr on the other day, and tomorrow there's a last chance he's playing in that. Are they in the same ballroom with that guy?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of
okay.
Course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you're – you know, having was last year the first year that you guys came out for coverage, or is it 2 years?
No, last year was the first year.
Last year was the first, so you'll get the benefit of having seen, you know, the way it was handled at Treasure Island, and you know, I don't want the next 5 days to be a series of, you know, of bashing of Treasure Island, because that would be unfair. Treasure Island was a wonderful host, and the event more or less outgrew the building and the facilities. So instead of having people spread around in the sports book, and then last year there was that downstairs room, then there was the main ballroom, and then the auxiliary room, instead of having people spread around like that, everybody is going to be in this enormous room, and that includes, there's going to be like lounge areas to break away from the tables, and you know, each of the sponsors and the racetracks have sponsored the qualifiers all year, they're going to have little areas for people to hang out. People are going to just be thrilled. And then there's Bally's itself, and I had never been, I think actually I have been in here going back to my early trips to Vegas when I was with Procter & Gamble, and this goes back to working on Folgers Coffee, Seth, and having some events in Vegas, including one at the old Las Vegas Hilton. But this is an older property. It's not new, but it's beautifully maintained, and the facilities, and, you know, restaurants, etc. I think people are going to be delighted with the whole package.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it now. Again, last year was the first year, and I enjoyed Treasure Island, but it was a little funky with the room downstairs, the auxiliary room, and you know, we interviewed some people before the contest, and I think the people down in that room were kind of feeling like, hey, you know, it might be nice to be down here a little bit quieter, maybe concentrate a little bit easier. But then after the weekend was over, it seemed like the people who had been down in the auxiliary room felt that you were a little bit out of the loop as compared to being up in the main ballroom, and so to have everybody in the same room. And I know last year also some of the sponsor tables were out, so if they're pulling that stuff, so everything is all in the one area, I think it'll be a benefit for that. So now I'm looking forward to arriving.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you, and we'll get you know, last year you were showboating, so I didn't get you on as much as I was hoping.
I came over. I sat in with you for a while. In fact, I filled in because I was filled in for one of you. One of you guys took a little break, and I was sick.
I was fighting a cold all week, and I just, it's funny. I thought of that They've got this room. In fact, they've got this room. The temperature in here has got to be, I don't know, 55. I'm telling you, you can hang meat in here right now. But no, you need to, because when the room fills up with people, then it gets warm. But last year I was legitimately sick, actually, and so I do recall getting a good 45 minute break at some point on Saturday, I think. Or something.
I came over Saturday. I mean, I got my own show I got to worry about. I can only come in and sit on yours. I'm only the cut-ins, though. We're only doing the cut-ins. You guys are constant, so I salute you.
Well, I'm looking forward
to it. And I've said before, listening to you guys, I've heard, players come on your show and say just what I'm going to say. It, when you listen to you guys on the radio, you want to be out there. You want to play in the contest. I've told you a number of times. It's like the first time you did it, you think, hey, radio and a handicapping contest, how's that go? But, man, you listen and you think, well, I want to be there now.
Well, happy to happy to promote it that way, and it does get infectious, and there are a lot of people that from listening to the broadcasts did indeed start to play in qualifiers and take an interest and then get here. No shortage of those, actually, so it's kind of cool. Everybody takes a little bit of a different tact, I think. And in fact, the conversation we had this morning had a wonderful 45 minutes with Chris Couples. And Chris, here's a template. Somebody that was was sports betting and DFS betting, and now is only playing the horses.
Yeah, and as I say, listening to the show, it seems like there's a number of people who are the same as I, listened and thought, I want to go there, and as you say, jumped into the contest and qualified. And that, to me, is the fun of being out there, and it's the fun of listening, but last year, to being out there as well. Because what I love about the game is the handicapping puzzle. I love to kind of, when I was a kid, I liked the brain teasers, and these are like adult brain teasers, where you sit there and 8 or 9 or 10 times a day, you try to solve a brain teaser on the track, and if you're right, you get paid. And when you're out there are 300 like-minded people, and they're, the conversation is all horse racing and handicapping and wagering. And I think we're all in the situation. I grew up in a family that was not at all horse racing related. They weren't horse racing fans. And I had a buddy in high school that was a horse racing guy, and he kind of pulled me in. So we'd sit in study hall in high school and open up and just pick names out of the entries in the Gazette. And the next day we'd come in and see if our horses won, and I kind of got pulled into the game in that fashion. So I'm pretty much solitary, or have been, was early on in the early years, just kind of rooting, and you didn't have anybody to have the conversation with. But you go out there, and as I say, there are 300 people you can have the conversation with, and that's what the conversation is all weekend long.
Now, seven and bigger number, too. I mean, you're talking 700. And one of the nice things that this facility is going to afford friends and family, whether it's whether you bring significant others, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is. And, there's going to be, I think, a very different atmosphere that we're going to enjoy. So looking forward to getting you out here. And Seth, let's get a little general conversation in from the weekend, the race action, and the three-year-olds dominating. And the funny side 2.0 is obviously it's certainly in our region, the Sacatoga team doing it again with Barkley Tag, Tis the Law.
Yeah, and that was probably the most impressive performance over the weekend. I had Jack Knowlton on. I had him on Saturday. I had Jack on up at Saratoga after the maiden win, and we were talking a little bit then, and mentioning obviously Funny Side and Parallels, and they thought being a New York bred, they would kind of follow the Funny Side path and maybe the Bond Guard and the Sleepy Hollow, and then try Open Company this year. But I said to Jack, you know, I haven't talked to you since Saratoga. What was the change up? And they just said, you know, we kind of, with training and whatnot, we were looking at options and, you know, went to Champaign instead. So they wind up with a grade one win. And then I said since the race, I thought that race down in Kentucky was one the horse could build off of. First time around two turns, it was an off track. There was some traffic problems. I thought he could come out of that with a good education. Jack said he and Barclay felt much the same way. And so they came into to Saturday and obviously off the third place down in Kentucky, they had a little something to prove and a little redemption. And on the far turn, boy, you just knew. And he kind of took off and just, I thought he looked fabulous in there. What was it, 100 buyer figure, so a nice little triple-digit buyer to start the three-year-old season. And Saturday morning, Jack said the game plan was going to be, because I think he just, you know, they did it with Funnyside. It worked out well. So they were thinking Louisiana Derby, and he liked that this year it's a mile and 3/16, and they were going to look at that. And then Sunday morning, I talked with Mike Welch, and Mike said he was going to, a little bit later in the day, talk with Barclay Tag. And subsequently, the article that Mike put out said, they're maybe kind of now split a little bit between Louisiana Derby and Florida Derby. And with the win over the track, it wouldn't surprise me to see them stay in Florida. But I thought he looked really good. I, you know, it seems like every Derby list that comes out now is going to have him on top off of that performance. It was a very, very good performance. A little bit earlier, interesting side note from the three-year-old scene on Saturday, the winner of the Swale and the winner of the Withers both came out of races at Parks. How often do you see that? But the Parks performers played very well on Saturday, and then out in Southern California, another Baffert runner. And I don't know if you had to have talked about it on the show already, but we were sitting in here watching some of the Santa Anita races. And then Dino, our guy in the control room, I was gone by then, but he sent me the picture of you giving the trophy for the Bob Lewis. Bob Baffert's 3,000th win, and Mr. Bick in the winner's circle handing out the trophy. So we featured the picture the next Sunday morning on the show.
Oh, nice. Well, very kind. It was a rather remarkable turn of events, because there was really until that horse of Baffert's, that happy girl, who I think was like 3-5, when she lost, the assumption was that she and Auberge were going to win the second and third races, and that he would have the 3,000th wrapped up before the Lewis. He did have a long shot, or a longer-priced horse, in that maiden race that went as the fourth. But it hadn't occurred to me. And then when she lost, I said to myself, well, Auberge looked like she really couldn't lose on paper. And I thought, holy cow, Baffert could win his 3,000th. And I didn't even expect. They had asked me on Friday, would you present a trophy Saturday? I said, of course, happy to. It's always a great honor. And I never expected it to be the Lewis, because typically Jeff Lewis, Bob and Beverly's son, is not here. And Jeff Lewis couldn't do it on Saturday. So when I came in Saturday and I walked by the racing office, and Amy said to me, can you do the Lewis? I said, oh, my God, I would be thrilled to do the Lewis. You know, just to present a trophy in honor of Bob Lewis's memory is a great honor. And then for it to end up being Baffert's 3,000th, if people, you know, have heard me talk about it now for 3 days, because I was so tickled by it. And you know, to have that picture and him with the sign, you know, that's your favorite thing. You love those signs and those big cardboard checks. You love those.
Absolutely, the big check. I always say, take it into the bank. That's what I want to see, somebody walk into the bank with the big check. But the sign is always a fun side story, because I always wonder, how long has the sign been sitting there, and like, who's taking care of it? Because you have to have it ready. Once you get to 99 in any of those milestones, that sign has to be on the ready. So somebody kind of has to be in charge of that sign.
And absolutely.
Sometimes those guys get stuck for a while, but that sign has always got to be ready to go.
No, and there's some other milestone numbers, some doors being knocked on, but you know, 3,000 wins, and the funny thing, John White was doing research, and John predicted that that Baffert had over 900 wins. You heard this discussed yesterday, that had over 900 wins as a quarter horse trainer, and Baffert didn't think that. I talked to him the week earlier, and I said, you know, John thinks you've got close to 1,000 wins on quarters. And he said, no, I don't think so. He said 700, maybe 800 at the most. But John, I'm going to go with John on this. 970-something.
Oh, so maybe he has to get a couple of quarter horses.
Well, I don't think he's worried at this point about hitting 1,000 on the quarter horse number. I think he'd be more. He's
that
more
would
concerned.
Be a wild double, though. To have that on your resume.
That would be, I suppose. No, I think he'd like to hit double digits in Derby wins.
between the two.
That seems way more likely.
And what was the weather like out there? Because I was watching the simulcast, and at one point, and I can't remember what day it was, but I'm pretty sure Peter Lorre said it was 80 degrees out there.
If it was, it was for about 10 minutes. And right now here in Vegas too, it's cold as hell. Don't be shy about bringing a jacket and sweater. It's cold. In fact, right now, just looking up at there's a TV as they work on the TVs. It's 54 degrees here. And it's a little less windy. If you didn't hear the Monday show, I mean, it was scary what Frank and I dealt with on Monday. Cold was one thing, but the, you know, 40 mile an hour winds, it was nuts.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't great. I certainly haven't been bringing nice weather to the West Coast on my recent trips.
Well, I have to admit, Vegas, last year was my first time in Vegas altogether, and I had no idea what to expect with the weather. So I kind of realized, you know, it's not balmy by any means.
No. There was one year, the year that Tina came, when Tina got stuck here, which ended up being a whole cause celeb, when we had that crazy snowstorm, you remember?
Oh, sure, yeah.
The Snowmageddon, and we got stuck here for 4 nights after Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we finally got home Thursday. And that was the nicest thing, but that's like 5 years ago. Ever since then, it has not been warm here ever, and that I can recall. And you don't spend a lot of time outdoors, but it is kind of fun. It is kind of fun to go walk the strip and go watch. We're closer now, being at Bally's, to go watch the fountains at the Bellagio. And speaking of that, the fountains at the Bellagio, have you seen the plan for the NFL draft here?
No.
They're going to be doing it from inside the fountain. There's going to be all these floating. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. They're going to be bringing the players out to podiums in the fountain by boat. It's if you haven't seen, you should look at pull up NFL Draft Vegas and look at the artist renderings of what they're doing. It's going to be the Poseidon Adventure meets the NFL Draft. You're going to have. I guarantee you there will be some wacky hijinks. This can only go in the drink. It's kooky, but it should be. I suppose it'll be entertaining.
Well, I mean, it's just the fact that the NFL draft has now become a thing, like the NBA draft, that these have become a thing, but they are. So I guess the more festive, the merrier.
Well, the NBA draft is notoriously fixed, and as everyone knows, and or as everyone claims, at least in the NFL draft, you know, you get your wild cards. You do get your you know, your moments when the Browns take somebody completely ridiculous and, you know, it throws everything in, you know, into chaos.
The ESPN, the 30 for 30, where they're talking about the Elway draft, that's a good, it's kind of behind the scenes and the calls being made, who's going to trade for who, and that was a good one.
Oh, I haven't. I so rarely watch ESPN anymore. Seth, a couple of let's round out. We got about 5-6 minutes to round out. We talked. What did we talk? We talked. Tis the Law and a little California. What about how about Linda Rice jumping in to the 3-year-old scene?
Yeah, as I say, there's another one that was a previous Parks performer, yeah. Max Player, the first two starts of the career down at Parks. I have to admit, I did not use Max Player in my mix at all on Saturday. I thought Portos, because Todd Fletcher does so well on these Derby Trail kind of races, but he winds up, you know, an okay third. Shotsky I had right underneath, and he winds up an okay second, but Max Player looked really good, obviously, on Saturday. Third career start and jumps into a stakes race off the maiden breaker. So that was, you know, an impressive performance. It'll be interesting to see how he progresses going on. Is he still lightly raced? I'm not quite sure what to make of that field exactly. Obviously, you know, as I say, Tis the Law to me was the most impressive 3-year-old performer on the weekend. But any of these, you know, we're now along the trail, and any of these winners are going to have to do what maybe we couldn't do last year, and that's going to be the interesting part going forward as well. Last year, that early 3-year-old Derby Trail, the prep season, where somebody would step up, run big, you'd say, oh, that's the one. And then the next time they throw in a clunker, but somebody else would run big. And so we're early enough on the trail now that we are waiting for some of these horses to validate the big performances. Tis the Law, obviously off the Champagne last year, already has kind of validated the talent he has displayed. So, you know, he's the one that again, impressed me on the weekend and is at the top of my list currently, but we'll see how it shakes out for some of these horses in their next start.
Well, that includes the draw going on probably right about now at Tampa, and haven't really looked into how much competition was lined up and how big that field is going to be for the Sam Davis on Saturday, but that's the standalone prep from a point standpoint this weekend. We mentioned yesterday the San Vicente on Sunday, and a lot of excitement to get Storm the Court, the 2-year-old champ, get him started. And Peter Erton very happy with where Storm the Court is, kind of wading into the action. On that topic, actually, the two of them, Seth, and I know you are a very active future wager guy. Have you had a chance since yesterday afternoon to look at the new faces and the early lines?
I looked at the names. I haven't looked at the PPs yet. There was nothing really that jumped out at me. I will tell you, I don't think the morning line will hold, but if the morning line holds at 5-2 on all others, I'll jump in there because I think it's still early. But there was nobody that stood out to me at 30-1 on the morning line. Now, I think this will all change up. It's hard to make the morning line for that. So, you know, by Sunday afternoon, there may be a couple that'll kind of pique my interest a little bit more. But based on the morning line, I didn't see any single horses that I was really intrigued with in this pool. But as I say, I'll watch it on Sunday afternoon. There may be one or two. And if that price does hold up on all others, you never know. I mean, Tis the Law, I think it's going to take a lot of action, and so maybe all others will wind up being a little more attractive than you would think, but it just seems early enough that 5-2 seemed kind of generous.
Well, I mentioned at the top of the show, I gave it a rundown, and for those that missed that, at a glance, the number that I doubt holds is 50-1 on 3 Technique, because the way he finished against the track in the Smarty Jones, that that caught a lot of people's eye. And you know, the old comment, that's who I want out of that race. I mean, I heard a lot of that regarding three technique. So I think he will end up taking some money that brings that price down, for instance. And, you know, he is a bit of an unknown quantity in terms of pedigree, given Mr. Speaker, and certainly, you know, the most prominent Mr. Speaker that's out there right now, out of a Harlan's Holiday mare, and of course, Maya Engelhart, for Bill Parcells. So, you know, you got, high profile interest there with three technique. And then there's the maiden winners, Seth, that are also kind of unknown. Violent City with Ian Wilkes. You know, this is a violence colt out of a Spitestown mare, so you don't necessarily, you know, at a glance think that the stretch out is going to be ideal. You also have the recent winner from last weekend in Palm Springs, 50-1, breaking the maiden
I think
start.
I want 100. Between the two maiden breakers on Saturday, Jimmy Jerkins, I thought Edge of Fire was the more impressive one. Palm Springs, I thought, had to work a little bit in the second career start as a million-dollar purchase. But Edge of Fire also being an Ontario bred, you don't know whether that one may wind up in the Queen's Plate.
Well, the certainly can go in either, you know, certainly can go toward Derby in the meantime, but that race did not come back fast at all.
Yeah, well, not surprising. I mean, it was a 111, but I thought it was more impressive. His was a debut. Palm Springs was the second start also, so we'll see.
Well, and then there is a couple of mystery types in here. That Premier Star, the Tapiture colt of Navarro's out of the Hold That Tiger mare. It happens to be 2-for-2, and I'm sure we'll see probably in the Fountain of Youth. You got the first out winner, Nadal. Battaglia made 12-1. Who am I missing?
Structure at 30-1 is maybe
Structure. I think Structure will. I think people will be very intrigued to play a little Structure, an unknown quantity on the dirt so far. So we'll see what. There's also Urton's got. They didn't include Royal Act in this, but Peter Urton's also got Exalted. That's on the list. So I'd forgotten about Exalted. So Urton with three-year-olds, pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at Enforceable is maybe a little bit interesting at the price too.
Enforceable is going to start at 30-1, as is Governor Morris. Todd told us last week that he's gearing up and headed to. What did Todd tell me? I got to rely on the I got to rely on the listeners sometimes that take better notes than I can frequently. he's on his way. We're going to see him shortly, and I'll see you shortly.
Yes, like I say, hopefully lunchtime tomorrow. That's the game plan.
All right. Well,
one of my fondest memories from last year. Sunday night, the contest ends, and I'm not leaving until Monday afternoon. So I'm in Vegas. I'm down playing the slots and not even realizing what time it is. And finally, it's like, hey, I better go up and get a few hours sleep before I have to take off. I go. I've been in the slot room all night long. I go to the bank of elevators. There are you with your cup of coffee. You're just getting up for the morning. We passed at different times of the day.
I know, and I gave a... I got a lot of mileage out of that. the one and only, and Vegas is ready for Seth Merrow's return. Travel safe.
Thank you, and good luck to everybody this afternoon if they're jumping in flight.
There we go. Seth Merrow, folks, I want to thank Seth and Sid. Chris Couples, we had a lot of fun with Chris this morning from Hazel, Kentucky, his first NHC. Tomorrow you'll hear from soon-to-be NHC Hall of Famer Roger Satina, skyscraper himself. And, of course, I want to thank Senator Tommy Tomlinson from Bucks County, from Ben Salem. for answering what's going on in Pennsylvania. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning from Vegas.
Hey!